In the name of our beloved and living Lord, our good friend Jesus Christ, we'd like to take a few moments today and talk about Nephesh and Zeroes, death and life, a favorite topic of our Lord Jesus Christ, and one that we need to understand and appreciate if we are to really get to the heart of Christianity. What we are involved in as believers, and what we will be trying to preach and teach to others, is nothing less than a revolution, a complete turnabout in the definition of what it means to be dead and what it means to be alive. We have a lot of interest in death and dying today. A lot of people are making pretty good money, I guess, writing books, rewriting the stages of death of Elizabeth Kubler Ross. The Missouri legislature very recently considered a new definition of death. Doctors are concerned about who's dead and who's alive because they'd like to get those organs while they're still usable. Is it possible to be dead and yet alive? And is it possible to be alive and yet dead? I've chosen a verse from Revelation chapter 1 because I've been thinking much about it in this Easter season. The whole matter of what we meant when we celebrated the resurrection. In the 18th verse, after John had this vision of this great Lord, whose voice was as the sound of many waters. His eyes were piercing and his feet were brazen. He blasted wherever they walked. Scared John to death and told him. But then the Lord, this was the risen Lord, came to him and touched him and said, "Wake up, I've got something to tell you." And in the 18th verse, he said, in describing himself, "I was dead." And earlier, what a memory. I was dead, and behold, I am the living one. The emphasis that I would like to make is that we celebrate the resurrection not only in that the Lord came back to life, a historical event. We don't need to argue that, but it's much more than that. It is not merely that Jesus came back to life. So did Lazarus. Lazarus, so what? Where's Lazarus now? It was a great event and a miracle. We accept it. But it really has not much to do with it. So Jesus does not describe himself as one who came back to life, but rather as one who is now living. I am the living one. Then I am living, not merely I came back to life. So in order to sort all of this out, I think there are four statements that we need to contemplate. Number one, Jesus said, "I was dead." And that's a great thing. We heard yesterday, I heard from the opening chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God said, "I was dead." That's the thing that's come to kill up and down the spine. Well, this great person pictured in Revelation chapter 1, the magnificent Christ standing in the circle of his churches, he was dead. I find that as difficult to believe in my fleshly mind as to believe that Jesus arose from the dead. For he who was immortal and eternal, he was in the beginning, before the beginning of God, that he was dead. It's difficult to believe that it is at the heart of our gospel. And why was he dead? By choice. Remember how he said, "Nobody's going to take my life from me." He looked Pilate right in the eye. Pilate said, "You know, I can have you put to death, or I can save you." And Jesus said, "No, you can't." You have no power over me at all except what is given to you from above. But the miracle of those three words, I was dead, is found in what the meaning of that breath is, that not only physically, but spiritually, Jesus was devoted by this God as an atoning sacrifice. Sacrifice has been much on the minds of people throughout the ages. People who chose the most beautiful maiden. We used to read about that when I lived up in Western New York. Winning the Miss America contest was not the greatest thing in the world in the Indian tribes, because the elders took the winner and put her in a canoe without a paddle, just above Niagara Falls. Sacrifice, or the ancient Incas who would cast the maiden down a well, or those who attacked their enemies and cut out the heart and hold the beating heart of an enemy up and say, God, are you satisfied? I was dead. God sent. Second thought, it ties in very well with it, and I take this from the first verse of Ephesians chapter 2. He must unpack the truth. You were dead. And that's the reason for the I was dead. You're born dead in trespasses and sin. And indeed, it is possible to be alive and yet dead. And you see Jesus trying to teach us this lesson, that mere physical life or mental activity, whether or not you can wear anything other than a flat hand and a couple of hands or something like that, really has not much to do with life. When you were born, when you became alive physically and came from your mother's womb, you were dead. The second day was a season. Now the trouble they had, the Jews and the Gentile Christians calling each other names, having an awful time. Since the trouble with you is you were dead, and therefore separated from God. A physical life with no meaning. And this is the problem, the human problem that we are called to serve when we preach and teach. That we see people living in the misery of a walking death. Zombies, if you will, hating one another, killing one another, making each other miserable, making themselves miserable, making the short span of 70 years or more in this life nothing but hell. You were dead. I was dead because you were dead. And number three, I am living. A present participle, not merely resurrected. Is he living in your life? Is he living around us today? What evidence do we have? Where do we find the Lord living? Walking among us, exerting his influence. In word and document. We who are preachers particularly need to know that we're not merely informing people, but we are handling the word of life. Because in the gospel we find the living Lord coming to people and changing them. I like what Philip said in the introduction when he first translated the epistles, the letters to the young churches. He said, when I was handling this word, I felt like an electrician rewiring a house without turning off the current. So it snapped and crackled under my hand. Why? Because the I am living has said, I will be in my word. At the right hand of God is where he is living. You ever get discouraged and disgusted wondering what this world is coming to? I think it is Pastor Luckock who one time said, our modern scientific age reminds me of a bunch of apes for a joyride in a Chevrolet convertible. Everything is out of control. We recognize that today as we worry about Iran and Afghanistan and whether or not we're going to be in the Olympics and inflation and everything else. Is there nothing in control in this world? I am the living one. I am living and I am at the right hand of God controlling this universe. This is what we believe, because there is a living Lord. And he is living in his church. The church is my body, he said. I am living. My body, therefore, is to be living. And I am a church. And therefore, that leads us to the fourth connection here. I was dead because you were dead. I am living. And therefore, you are living with me. And we find that out in Ephesians. So we actually have the Greek word, living together with. Now, because we are reborn and we get saved again, everything is different. It's all new. Because we have been reborn through the power of the gospel. And therefore, we can live as God and saved people. A new way of life, an alien way of life, to actually love each other and give up things for each other, that we may then live forever. I can take those thoughts today. Jesus said, I was dead, not trust. You were dead, not trust. I am living, then, and you are living. Go. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep our hearts and minds through faith in him to life eternal.